Thank you, Pastor. This morning we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. Our passage is a little different this morning, where we're actually going to be in several chapters. So we're not going to read it all at first. We're going to kind of work our way through. But we're really going to work right, as you guys know, right now, Pastor's going through the book of 1 Peter in a very in-depth way. Today we're going to do kind of a flyover, and do some, we're going to actually move through the whole book this morning, and just from a kind of a bird's eye view. But we're going to be looking at how important it is to be vigilant in protecting our testimony and the way we live. And you know, I was trying to think of examples of protecting your testimony, and the one thing that jumped out at me was the life of Joseph in the Old Testament there, of, you know, all that he went through, and through it all, how he stayed faithful to the Lord. You think, you know, he started out, he sold into slavery by his brothers, but what did he do when he became a slave? He became the best slave that he could be. He kept the right attitude. He made sure that he represented the Lord well. And when he faced temptation from Potiphar's wife, he responded in the right way by drawing close to the Lord and getting away from sin. He kept his testimony there. And where did it get him? It got him in jail. And he responded in the right way there. He was a blessing where God put him. And then you think he got out of jail and he became, he started working for Pharaoh, and he became the best vice president or whatever he was at that time he could be. Everywhere he was always making sure that he was representing the Lord in the best way. And that's what we should be doing as well. And that's the verses we're going to be looking at today have to do with that. So, you know, something we need to realize, that our testimony as a child of God, we can, through our life, we can lead someone to Christ, or we can push someone away from Christ. And, you know, we need to, you know, as we live our life, we need to understand the consequences of the decisions that we make. You know, are they going to be helpful? Are they going to be hurtful? Because they are. We influence a lot more people than we think we do. So we need to be vigilant in guarding our testimony and making sure that we are representing the Lord in the best way possible. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're just going to read verses 11 and 12 here. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Let's pray as we get started. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to come and to worship you. We thank you for your word, Lord. And as we look into it, I just pray that you would work in all of our hearts, Lord. Help us to know how we can represent you the best way possible. And Lord, how we can be as close to you as possible. Lord, please speak to our hearts through your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here in verse 11 and 12, we see a plea here from Peter. First of all, he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust." The first thing he does is remind us that when we're here on this earth, that we are pilgrims. We're strangers here. This isn't our home. He's put us here for a purpose right now, but this is not what we're supposed to be looking for. And we need to make sure that we're not caught up in the lust of this world, that the things of this world aren't what steal our attention, that get us off course in serving him. And, you know, it says, "Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And our lusts and our desires in this world are things that truly do get us away from serving the Lord. In James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, "But Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we see here that if we give in to our lust, if those are what are controlling us, those are going to lead us into sin. And those are things that are going to keep us from serving the Lord, but it also keep people from listening to us if we share the gospel. If we have sin in our lives, if we've gone to that, people see us making things of this world more important than the things of God. People aren't going to be wanting to listen to us. They're not going to be willing to listen that we're any different. And we need to make sure that our desires are towards God and not the things of this world. And again, First Peter here, that's the first challenge we see here is to us, our testimony is to giving in to these lusts. And you know, if we do, what are people going to see us as? They're going to see us as hypocrites. And people don't like to listen to hypocrites because you can't trust a hypocrite. But the answer we find is in Galatians 5. It's in verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The secret is, it's not a secret. God makes it clear to us in his word now that if we're living in God's Spirit, if we're letting his Spirit control our lives, then we can, our desires are going to be for him and not lusting after things of this world. And here it goes on and continues in verse 12. It says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." So here we see our conduct and our behavior should not be a reproach to others. People should look at our lives and say, there's someone that's different. And it starts out here, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. So we need to be true. Again, this reminds us that we don't need to be hypocrites. But when I was reading this, I was thinking of, you know, we see so much advertising in the world today, and so much of it is not true. And specifically, I was thinking, you know, I've had experiences. How many of you here enjoy going to a car dealership and buying a car? I see no hands here. That's not a fun thing to do, right, Elijah? Or I know he's trying to find a car right now, but it's not a fun thing to do. But I remember someone that I used to work for. He was friends of an owner of a dealership in Greer, and this was probably 20 years ago. I remember having this conversation with him. And I won't say the brand, but it was a new brand that was starting to get a foot here in the U.S. And you guys probably remember these. You would see advertisements for a car, brand new car, unbelievable price. You could not believe a new car would sell for that low. And the man that I worked for at that time went and looked at one. He wanted to see one of those cars. Well, when he got there, it was like, well, there was only really one of those cars, and it's already sold. You know, we would call that bait and switch back then. But you know, and there would be, you know, and then you would find out a car just like it would cost, you know, nearly twice as much. and of course, he didn't end up buying the car, but he knew the owner of the dealership, and he asked him, "Why do you do that? Why would you, you know, because what's going to happen if you go in and you find out that the prices there are nothing like what they're advertised? You're going to be upset, aren't you? You're like, I'm not coming back here again." Well, here's the answer he gave him. He said, 8 out of 10 people that come in here leave angry, which that's a high percentage, but it's worth it to them to get those 2 people out of 10 to listen to them and try to sell them a car. So, you know, in reality, you know, they're selling to people that didn't need something, and they're not being honest. And, you know, 8 out of 10 people that went through that experience are not going to come back to that place. And that should not be the way our Christian life is. We're not selling something. We're sharing what Jesus Christ has done for people. And, you know, Not everyone needs one of those cars that they were selling, but everyone does need Jesus. And we need to make sure that we're not offending people where they're never going to listen to the gospel again. And that comes from our life and our conduct being true. In Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So, we are supposed to make an effort. I mean, it's supposed to be part of us to let our light shine before other men to see how wonderful our Lord is. And that should be reflected in our lives. You think back, here in this verse we hear it, it says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." So think back when Peter was writing this, there were a lot of people speaking out against them. There were Jews speaking out against them. The Gentiles were speaking. No one wanted to hear their message. But God continued to work there because they were faithful, and their faith was real. They weren't looking at these early Christians and seeing hypocrites. They were seeing people willing to die for the Lord. And even though, sometimes people are going to try to put us down. They're not going to like hearing your message when you give the gospel. But we need to continue to show love and compassion towards them, not respond in a way of anger or, I don't want you to hear it anyway. We need to respond in love and compassion. And you think about what an opportunity it is when just imagine if you had a chance to share the gospel and someone rejected you and maybe weren't nice to you about it, maybe slammed the door in your face, but you continued to share the gospel and you, continued to show that you really cared for that person. And then eventually that person comes around, God will use your meeting sometimes to work in their life if they're open to it and to convict their hearts. And think about what a blessing it is. Someone that you've continually tried to show love to, even though they've rejected you, if they accept Christ, just think how wonderful that would be. And what a blessing that would be. We shouldn't be angry at those that would slam doors in our face. We need to continue to pray for them and try to lead them to the Lord. And someday maybe they can stand in glory with us. And just think about, people that maybe have rejected you, because you were faithful and because you allowed God to use you, that someday you could stand in glory with them. What a blessing that would be. So now let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to continue to see there how important it is to be vigilant in protecting our testimony. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read verses 13 through 17. We get there too. It says, "And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." So here we see some verses talking about, it's not always going to be easy. When we try to live in this world, when we try to keep our testimony, there's going to be some tough things that we go through. And he makes that clear in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It tells us in that verse that if we're living godly, we will suffer persecution. Now, you could also look at that inversely, and if you're not suffering any persecution at all, maybe you're not living as godly as you should be. But it should not be a surprise to you if we are doing our best for the Lord, if we're trying to do what's right to make him first in our life, that we're going to go through some hard times from other people. Some people aren't going to like what we're doing. But we need to make sure that we guard against quitting during that time. You know, we need to be expecting it. It's going to come, and it's not a time for us to quit when things get hard. It says, we need to remember, it says, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?" Remember who we're living for. We're living for the Lord. He's more powerful than anyone. He's going to protect us. He's going to help us through those tough times. And then he goes on and says, "And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." You know, one clear example of that we see in Acts chapter 5. We see the apostles there were sharing the gospel. This is after Pentecost. Some of the apostles had done some miracles. And what did the Jewish leaders there do? They went and arrested them and put them in jail. Because they didn't like how people were responding to them. They were being faithful and true to the Lord. And what happened? They ended up being locked up. And they brought them out and they talked to them and tried to convince them to stop preaching the gospel. But they didn't have a reason to keep them there because they were being true to the Lord. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and through 42, it says, this is after they've released them. And it says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council," listen to this, "rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." So they suffered, and they were rejoicing because of what a privilege it was to suffer for the name of Jesus. And what did they do in verse 42? "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So here, they didn't let a little persecution stop them from doing what God wanted them to do. They didn't, you know, had they done that, you know, think about the respect that people that had been listening to them would have lost and how many people would have gone astray there. Here we see Peter saw this suffering. He saw it as an evidence of being blessed. You know, he did not hide from it. You know, we see that in the life of Paul, he was the same way. He didn't shy away. He wasn't scared of being punished for doing right. Peter here saw it as being blessed, and we see here that the apostles rejoiced in this suffering. And you know, that's not an easy thing to do, is it? When things aren't going well, it's hard to rejoice. But we remember what our purpose is, and the outcome by going through this in the right way, then we can rejoice. And we need to make sure that that is the attitude in our life. And here we look at, again on in verse 15 here. We're still in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So if your life, if you're producing the fruit of the Spirit, people are going to want to know what that's about. What is your hope that you're looking forward to? People are going to want to know that if they see that difference in that fruit in your life. And you know, the question we need to ask ourselves, are people seeing that hope and that fruit in our lives? Where they would ask us, or they would come to us. You know, we should be going out and sharing the gospel, but God gives us opportunities too where people see our lives and he brings them to us. So, you know, it tells us here that we need to be ready to give an answer when those people do come to us. You know, the first thing we can do is we can share our testimony, exactly what God has done for us. You know, we tell them how, you know, Jesus saved us from sin. We can tell them exactly what we've gone through. You know, that's where all of us can start. You know, we can invite them to church. We can give them a tract. One thing, you know, I will share something. One thing the Lord kind of convicted me on recently was, we talk about all the time about, you know, giving out tracts and sharing things. And, what happens if you took this tract that we have in our rack back here and gave it to somebody and someone looks at it, turns around right then and says, what does this mean? I was thinking about that. It was like, I'd have to look at that track and see what it says. So the Lord kind of impressed on me recently how important it is if we have these tracks, if we pass them out, to study them and to know what's inside of them. This one is called the Bridge of Salvation. You open it up and, it makes it clear, that we need a Savior. But you have to open it up in a certain way if you're going to share it with someone to explain to them, the verses in the correct order. And then you open it up and you can see how you can explain to them that Jesus is the way there and that he provides that way to salvation. So that's just a little extra that goes along with this. That's something the Lord convicted me about recently is make sure you know what's in these tracts. But because if someone asks, if you hand one to someone and they say, well, what does this say? It's kind of embarrassing if you, well, let me look and see. make sure you know what's in there. And truthfully, it's helpful to you, too, to study these things and to be careful there. But when someone comes to us, we need to be ready to give an answer. And we see that in Matthew 28, several verses here I'll read to you in verses 18 through 20. It says, these are verses we're all familiar with. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So here he's given the command for the disciples to go out and to teach and share the things that he's commanded them, the things that he's taught them. And you think about the 12, Jesus taught them for 3 years. So it was a reminder to me here that it's not, we need to be prepared. We have God's word, and he shares in his word what he taught those disciples. And we need to be as familiar with that as possible and be able to, when we have the opportunity to give the gospel and to be able to say, this is what Jesus did for us. This is even how he came and he lived for us. We should be able to explain that to him. And God tells us here how important it is to be ready to share that reason for our hope, that we know that we're going to be with him forever. So we need to be, we're talking about being vigilant and protecting our testimony. We need to be vigilant in making sure that we know the things that God needs us to know to share his love and to share the gospel. And when we do share the gospel, we're doing it, the verse there tells us to do it in meekness and fear. We do it in meekness and respect because that doesn't come from us. It's not something that we do. It comes from the Lord. And when we do that in meekness, we're not pointing people towards ourselves. We're pointing people towards the Lord and letting them know that he's the answer, not us, it's him. And we need to guard against that and make sure that we don't become self-centered there. And he goes on in verse 16, it says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. The suffering that comes from the world because we're being faithful, God's going to reward us for that in eternity. We don't need to be afraid of that. And, what we need to be, though, is vigilant in keeping our lives clean and keeping our lives pure so those accusations against us are false. We need to make sure that when people do accuse us of being hypocrites, that that's not true. And because if they are, if we are the hypocrites that we talked about, and those accusations are real, we're going to lose all credibility with anyone that we're sharing the gospel with. So that's something that we need to guard our lives about. And but we need to remember, if we are suffering while we're doing the will of God, then our conscience is clean. If we're doing the word of God, or will of God, doing what he wants us to do, and we suffer because of that, you know, there's no guilt involved in there. We need to make sure that our lives are clean, that our lives are pure. We need to work towards that. Be vigilant so that we can't be accused. So now let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. I told you we're going through the whole book this morning. And we're going to read some verses 7 through 11 there. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch under prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." So here we see we see in verse 7 here, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch under prayer." So being vigilant and watching our testimony means that we need to stay alert and be constantly in prayer. We need to be close to the Lord as we can. We need to be always talking to him, always realizing that he's there with us to help us. Think about how important it is to be in contact with the one person that can help you keep your testimony. We need to be as close to him as possible and be watching in prayer and just asking him for help, asking him for strength, and just realize that he's there with us and allowing his spirit to lead in our life. And in verse 8 it says, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin." So here we see our love for others, and it's specifically talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ right here, causes us to overlook faults in people. You know, our love for each other should not be based on if we're perfect or not. Because if that was the case, then I have a feeling we'd all be struggling with loving each other, because none of us here are perfect. But we also need to remember that our love for our Christian brothers and sisters should also help them be, our love should come out in helping them overcome those faults that are in their life, especially ones that are leading them into sin. True love is we're going to try to help them through that. We're not going to try to condemn them for it. We're going to try to help them and restore them, those that might be struggling. So, again, so when we see those that are struggling, those that are stumbling, you know, our response should be that of trying to help them restore their lives, not condemning them for where they are. We need to help them get back. And that's, we need to be diligent in that, in our testimony, showing our love for each other in that way. And you think about when you read the letters that Paul wrote, the epistles, and you see his love and compassion for the people in those churches. And usually they were doing some pretty bad things in those churches that he was writing to. And God gave them to us because they apply to us too. But you just see the compassion that Paul had when God was using him to write those epistles. The love he had for those people, and how he wanted to bring them back into fellowship with Christ when they had gone astray. So, you know, that's one of the reasons it's so important for us to keep our lives pure, because if we're going to try to help others come back to Christ, We need to make sure our lives are right with Christ as well. So we need to make sure our testimony is where it should be. We've read the verses about getting the beam that's out of your own eye. You need to make sure that our lives are right before we go and help others if they're going to listen to us. We need to make sure that we have things right. And he goes on in verse 9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So kindness and hospitality, that's the most practical way that we can show the love of Jesus. And when we do that, when we put that love, that hospitality into practice, people see that our care and concern for them is real, that it's not superficial. You know, if we say that we love somebody and we care about them and we never do anything to help them, we're not going to have that big of an impact on somebody. We need to make sure that it's showing in our actions. When we see someone in our church family that has a need, you know, we should reach out. We should be encouraging. You know, we should be praying for them. We should be offering our help. And, you know, this encouragement to others should be a regular thing in our lives. It shouldn't be something like, oh, I've got to go encourage somebody at least one day this week. It should be all the time. Because we never know when someone's hurting. I mean, I think we're all good here at hiding our real feelings a lot of times. We don't always know what each other are going through. But we need to always be encouraging because we don't know what someone's going through. That's something that the Lord's convicted me with over time and time again is, you know, sometimes you get frustrated with people. You see them doing things that you know are wrong and you want to condemn them. But one thing you need to remember is I don't know exactly what they're going through. They might be going through something that is just really pulling them down and they need your help. They need your encouragement. And we need to make sure that we have that attitude. If we show that hospitality, it needs to be real. And there shouldn't be any grumbling or complaining in doing that. You know, sometimes maybe we do something to try to help someone and they don't say thank you. And maybe we get offended by that. That shouldn't matter whether they say thank you or not. Well, you should be willing to do it again and again and again. And not, it shouldn't be dependent on getting the proper appreciation. We need to make sure we're doing it out of our hearts. And then we go on to verse 10. And it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards as the manifold grace of God. Another thing we need to do to stay vigilant in protecting our testimony is to use and develop the gifts that God's given us to be a blessing to others. We need to use them regularly. You know, God's given us all different gifts. We can all work in so many different ways. The Lord doesn't give us all the same gifts. They're all different, so we can work together as a church. And we need to make sure that we use those gifts that he's given us so they don't go to waste. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, it says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. So, you know, again, God's given us different gifts. Some of us can sing. Some of us can preach like pastors, some can teach, some can just encourage. You know, God's given us all different things that we can do. And you know, if you're honest, you probably know what your gifts are. If you're constantly asking the Lord, how can I serve you? You see the opportunities that come up and where you can be a blessing. So, and it says here in this verse that let all things be done unto edifying. So we're supposed to use those gifts not to build ourselves up, to be an encouragement to others and help them live for Christ. And we should be using those gifts to help each other and honor God in them. And then as we continue on to verse 11, it says, if any man let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So here we see our speech should bring glory to God. So we need to be careful in watching what we say and making sure that what we say is honoring to the Lord and what he wants us to say. So again, God's given us, you know, all gifts, and we should use those gifts for him. But he's given to us each differently. There in the middle of that verse, it says, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You know, God gives pastors the ability to get up and preach and, you know, encourage us to make changes in our lives. God, some people have that gift. Some people don't. I mean, to be honest, it's hard sometimes for a lot of people to get up and do that in front of people. But God's given some people the ability to teach, getting up here just like I'm doing and teaching. But he's also given us the ability to talk to someone and share the gospel. He's given us the ability to say, I'm praying for you. What can I do to help? He's given us the ability just to put our arm around someone and let them know that we're there for them. And, you know, when it talks about speaking the oracles of God here, it's not just talking about preaching, I don't think. I think it's talking about sharing God's love with others. However, God's given you a gift to do that, whether it's preaching, teaching, just one-on-one meetings, you know, whether it's here in the church, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's family. The Lord wants our words to be encouraging to others at whatever level they are. So, and when we do that, we're showing our love and our allegiance to Christ, and he's the one that receives the glory. Again, so that's, you know, we need to watch what we say. So now let's turn finally to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 8 through 10 there. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So the next thing we look at here that we need to be vigilant about is verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So, you know, it starts there, be sober and be vigilant. So we need to be under control and we need to be watchful for those attacks that we're going to receive from Satan. Satan doesn't want to just scare us. It says here that he wants to devour us. He wants to make us useless for God. And but, you know, Satan has no power over God. So what does he do? He goes after us because he knows that God loves us. And we need to be vigilant and watching out for his attacks and making sure that he's not stopping us, or he's not allowing us to make mistakes that are going to hurt our testimony. And we go on to verse 9, we see how. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So he says here, we're supposed to resist Satan, but not in our own strength. We cannot resist Satan in our own strength. It says in faith. So we resist him by faith in the one who has power over him. And we see how to do that in James chapter 4. We've looked at this verse recently in other lessons. In James 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we see here that we resist Satan, not by our own strength, but we see it by drawing close to the Lord. The closer we are to the Lord, the farther we are from Satan. And we need to, it also means the farther we are from sin, too. We need to be as close to God as we possibly can. That means prayer, reading His Word, doing His Word. We need to be faithful in serving Him and being as close to Him as possible. And then Satan has no chance of having any power over us if we are close to the Lord. If we get away from the Lord, we're going to be close to the devil. So we need to draw nigh to God. And when we do that, when we seek to draw close to God, He's not going to push us away. It says He's going to draw nigh to us as well. And that's what we need to rest in. And finally, verse 10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." We may suffer a little bit while we're here on this earth, but we need to remember the Bible tells us this life is what? It's a vapor. You guys ever seen when you lift off the pot of boiling water and the vapor goes up in the air and then it just disappears? Our life is like that. We need to remember it seems like a long time to us, but in eternity, this life is nothing. We need to serve Him the whole time we're here. We need to be faithful to Him no matter what we're going to. And because of God's grace, we get to be with Him for eternity. And He will reward us if we stay faithful to Him, if our faith stays true during those sufferings. And the knowledge and experience that we gain going through that is going to help us when we have other situations come up in the future. We should learn and grow through those difficult situations. Because, we need to remember what we read earlier in 2 Timothy 3, that we will face temptations if we live a godly life. It's not we might. It says we will face sufferings, face sufferings. And we need to make sure that we stay faithful during those times. We keep our testimony, stay faithful to Him, and don't give up. So let's be vigilant in protecting our testimony. We need to make sure we put sin out of our lives. We need to show a Christ-like compassion to others. We need to stand strong and stay faithful during those times of persecution. We need to encourage and uphold each other and be a blessing to each other as we serve together. And we need to live a holy life that's close to God and away from sin. And that's easy for me to say here, but the key to all that is to living a life that is led by God's Spirit, that we allow God's Spirit to control our lives. And when we do that, all these other things are just going to fall into place. We need to make sure that we let His Spirit control our lives, and then we will have the testimony that we should. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your goodness, and we thank You for the opportunity You've given us to serve You here on this earth. And I pray, Lord, that we would be vigilant to protect our testimony, and Lord, that we would do that by being faithful to You. Help us through this day. I pray that You would work in our hearts through this day of worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.